The JOMA Building Leaders Program started with Liam O'Shaughnessy, a lead carpenter at JOMA, wanting to adapt his many years of mixed martial arts coaching and leadership to the JOMA team. And in this episode, he discusses who we are and what we mean to the world around us. And it all makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so I'm not asking that. I'm asking, what do you do here?
But I'm asking, what does JOMA do? Simple question, right? Come on, throw it out. What does JOMA do?
Yeah, man, that's a deep answer to that question. He didn't go for the obvious one. We build houses or we build properties. He went right for it. We build relationships. We do. He's right. We build relationships. We do more as well, though, right? Like, let's just say, what else do? We do other stuff, right? We build stuff. We organize stuff. Again, just some ideas, get it flowing. Look, we're creators, producers, craftsmen, coordinators, dream builders. It's not small stuff. You know, carpenter, I figure out projects, I sell projects, I do accounts, I keep safety straight on site. We do more than that. All of us are the part of the same machine. So all of our successes are everybody else's successes. So I personally, for JOMA, I run a crew and I do some carpentry stuff. But if you were to ask me, what do? I'm gonna say this. Because what we all do is what I do, right? What our crews all do is what you guys do. Every single one of us are a part of that. Without us, without that, it doesn't work. When I did carpentry here, I did it on my own. I kind of tried to do everything, and I found out I'm a terrible businessman. I mean, awful. You need those people. Without it, my company, you know, it didn't go down, but it was going to. It was too much work. So we all have this super important role, and it's not just building houses. It's not just installing baths, or it's way bigger than that. A house is somebody's dream. They have their job, their family, and their family revolves around their home. So in making homes, we're doing far, far more than just the wood and the brick and the mortar. We're making the environment that their whole life will be shaped in. That breakfast bar that we put in, they look at every day, and their memories are going to be formed around it for 20, 30 years. It's massive. It's a huge, huge impact we're having on people's lives. Way bigger than their Amazon subscription or their Netflix subscription. This is concrete, real stuff. So that's a huge thing. This is a huge service that we offer in somebody's life. This is one of the biggest things that they're going to do. Their whole life is going to revolve around the work that we do. So when somebody asks me, what do? That's what I say. You know, at JOMA, I make people's dreams happen. And we couldn't do that without all these people here, without all the people that we help work, and without all the people that organize the things for us. We're all the same team. All right, so I'm a carpenter. We're kind of the backbone of the organization at the bottom here. So let's take a look and see what carpenters do, you know? This guy, right? All right. So carpentry is one of mankind's oldest professions. So old, in fact, it's often completely and utterly overlooked. There was a shutdown at the beginning of this year, and do you know what the answer was to federal employees? Go get some carpentry work. What? You can't just walk into that stuff. You've got to know how to do it, right? But it's so incredibly overlooked in our society because it's been around for so long. We've all heard of the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age. I doubt, however, that we've really ever considered the Wood Age. And I assure you, it predates all of them, right? First thing we got into was the Wood Age. These guys, they're still there. The Romans first recorded the practice in Vitruvian's De Architectura, Vitruvian, as in Vitruvian Man. You know, Leonardo da Vinci ended up copying Vitruvian Man. It's a profession, however, that's traditionally been passed down from generation to generation through practice and demonstration, which means by right, every carpenter must be both a good student and capable teacher. If you look back through our human history and some of the people that we have looked up to, you'll find that quite a few of those were carpenters at one point. It's a word of mouth profession. It's been around for so long that we even forgot to write it down. We're so used to it that now it's kind of hard to find a book on what to do. Everyone's scrambling around. Well, this is how I do it, this is how I do it, this is how I do it, this is how I do it. There's all these different versions. When I went through school in England, they don't promise us as, they don't make our dreams are not as big as they are here in the American world. So they make it very clear that you probably need to have a trade. They put us through tests very, very early, very young, at 11, to decide whether you're going to be in the civil world or in the trades world. And then you're put into schools accordingly. And then from there, so if you're the overwhelming majority of the country and you're put in a school that's designed to send you to kind of the trades, everything is then pushing you in that direction. You don't really, even though university is free for you, you're not necessarily encouraged to go there because that's not what you do. You're a tradesman. So then we have trade schools and we have curriculums on this is how this should be done. That doesn't really exist here in America. You have to consciously make the decision to want to be a carpenter, or you kind of fell into it because nothing else worked. But that doesn't mean that it's not a noble profession. Doesn't mean that, like I said, in my opinion, it's the noblest profession. I am a carpenter through choice. I sleep really heavy and sweetly and wonderfully every single night because I made something that day. And I've lived parts of my life where I didn't do that, and it was missing for me. So often we think that people are in this position because they had no other choice, and that is a mistake on our behalf. A lot of my colleagues that I work with in the field are just like me. Even if they had an opportunity to do something else, they would still be doing what I'm doing, what we are doing, because the satisfaction they get out of putting their hands on something and making something, that's what they live for. And it's been around. It's part of the human DNA to be a carpenter. These guys, teachers, they get it. I'm pretty sure that might be Johnny B there on the bottom of the ladder. All right. Carpenters are quick to learn the art of being both humble and patient. If they've completed their job correctly, it should either be completely unnoticeable or so fantastic that to the untrained eye, it seems impossible. Think about that, right? Molding, crown molding, trim, scribing something in. It either should be so good that you don't notice it, or if it's a centerpiece, it should be so fantastic that there's no way that solid thing could be made into that. It's a real skill. Skills of extreme. Skill with strength. Forceful hands with a soft touch. First group of people in, last group of people out. This is more like us. All right, so according to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, I hate to bring any kind of union thing anywhere. I didn't mean to do that, but I had to get a definition from somewhere. The profession includes skills required for the installation of flooring, windows, doors, interior trim, cabinetry, solid surface, roofing, framing, siding, insulation, acoustical ceilings, computer access flooring, metal framing, wall partitions, office furniture systems, both custom and factory-produced materials, trim and molding, ceiling treatments, exposed columns and beams, displays, mantels, staircases, metal studs, metal lathe and drywall, siding, exterior trim, decking. All right, so that's a lot of stuff. That is a huge net of a whole bunch of stuff that's just in one trade, one skill. Anybody that's been around that can have a grasp of any of that,
That's a valuable person. That's a valuable set of skills. Carpenters are asked to do an awful lot, and they're not given a whole lot of credit for what they actually do, the burdens that they do shoulder. I'm not saying that to toot myself in any way, shape, or form. I'm saying that the backbone of Joma are some of the noblest, hardest working guys that humanity produces. We should be very, very proud of them. All right. So, what benefits do we get from working here, personally? Us. I told you a couple. I sleep real well at night because I work here, because I have the opportunity to produce some stuff. But there are some specific stuff we get. What benefits do we get? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, I'm going to throw some out. Look. We get health insurance, right? 401k. Training. Look, we're here right now. Vacation. Aflac. We're all given good equipment to do our work with. That's a huge thing, because I've worked for an awful lot of companies that don't. We've got different standards of what's good and what's bad, but everything we have is safe and is able to do the job. And as we need more, it's provided for us as we grow. That's a huge thing. That's a great thing as people in our position to have the faith that will carry forward. We got security. I feel real comfortable that we're going to be here for some time and that I can build my life, because I know that Joma as an institution is going to be around. I know that because it's filled with these incredible people that we can't fail. We've got Co-Construct and the Bamboo HR portal. Again, sometimes when you get things to begin with, it's like, man, this is another thing. This is just one more thing I've got to learn. But once you master those tools, they end up making your life way, way easier. As we have grown with Co-Construct, and I've seen each extreme of it, it is helpful. It does help us. It does offer us stuff that just wasn't there before. I mean, you can get as mad at the suicide circle as you want. That 5 minutes was a lot better than doing a job completely and utterly wrong or having zero guidance on something. Same with the Bamboo HR portal. It's given us the ability, you know, we've grown up now. We're like a real company, right? You can make requests. These are all things they don't have to be given to us. We have them. That's awesome. We have tools, these tools, that allow us to be comfortable to do our job. All right. So, I'm going to ask you a question. And I really, you know, you can think about it for a second, but I'm going to ask us to maybe give us our thoughts on this. But what makes our position important? Let's start here. Do we agree that our position is important? Your leaders sat in the room here. Do you agree that it's important, or is this just by chance that you got here? It's important, right? So why is it important? Yes, sir.
Because as a team, everybody has a function that another person relies on. So it's important that as a group, we function as a whole to achieve things we need to achieve. And everybody interacts and helps one another or provides a certain service or a skill that maybe somebody else doesn't have or isn't as good at, but we make up the differences by working collaboratively as a team.
Yes, very eloquently put. If we were not in the position that we're in, things would start to fall apart. It wouldn't be so smooth sailing. John's our big boss. Jeff is our boss. Everybody here is our boss. But we are the bosses of ourselves in that moment every single day. Sometimes we're the bosses of a few other people to organize to get that task going. But we're enabled with power. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Where else in your life do people give you power? You know? We got it right here. That's important. That's important to be aware and to identify that we have power. Because that's something that we have to respect. We're the linchpin of the team. If you are not there, everything will fall apart. You are pinning it together, whether you think that or not. Unfortunately, Adam's missing for the week. Well, he's the linchpin of that particular part of his team, and it's very, very hard for us to pull it all together without him there. We will. Everyone fills in because we're a team. You pick up the pieces. But when the linchpin is not there, everything gets a little bit crazy. So it's important that those pins are in there. We're field agents. Joma sells a particular service, promises a particular thing. And then we make all the arrangements for that to happen. Well, as the individual leaders as in middle management positions, you're the field agents of making that plan happen. You're there on a daily basis. You get to see and report back. Plans are super important. That's what we're going to follow. But as we know, they never go according to plan. They're always going to go off scale. You need to be there to see that. We're the field agents. That's without that, nothing would work. Imagine the backlog. Something goes wrong on a site, and if you were not there to find that out, if you didn't go back for a week, nothing has happened in that time because that one thing didn't happen. So we're the field agents. This wouldn't work without us being there every day. We're responsible for formulating and executing the plan of attack. If you think of it like a battle, you got your job. We're given the grand scheme of what we have to do, and then your job is to go in there and work out how to conquer that thing. So you're formulating battles. You know, you're a tactician. We're delivering the dream. We are selling a dream, and we're the guys that deliver it. We're the guys that make sure that that happens, make sure that the right people get the right stuff in their hands and have the right tools and are given the correct instruction to deliver that dream. So if you think about that, how important are we? We're important. You know, what makes our position important? The company wouldn't run without us. Okay. We're starting to get into the meat and potato of it here now. A role model. It's a word we've all heard before. But we often just overlook it. We don't really pay attention to what that means. So, anybody? What's a role model? There's no wrong answers, by the way. What's a role model?
Somebody is so good at what they do that you look to them to model
your behavior. Okay. So, somebody who's good at what they do so that you look to them and model your behavior upon them. I would say that the most important thing out of there is to look to and model your behavior upon. I agree with you, somebody who's good at what they do, but somebody might be really bad and people still might copy him, right? You could be a bad role model too. If you're a role model, it means that people copy what you do, for good or for bad. When you're in the position that we are in a position that people will copy what we do, for good or for bad, everything. Whether we like it or not, the position we are in is making us role models. So a role model is somebody that people copy or emulate. All right. So what is a leader? What is a leader? Is that different? Okay.
Someone who encourages and inspires people to take, put a foot forward and do what needs to be done, and gives guidance and instruction and encouragement to do what they're doing, and if it's, you know, to always try to do it better.
Okay. For sure.
Lead by example.
For sure. Okay, that's definitely something there. That's definitely a tactic, lead by example. It's kind of written in the word. What does the leader do? They lead. You're the person at the front, the person that makes the decisions, the person that takes the responsibility. If a role model is somebody that people copy, a leader is somebody that people follow. If we might find ourselves in a position of leadership for many reasons. Sometimes leaders, regardless to whether it's given, the position is given to them or not, will lead. It's in their nature. Sometimes other people are put in that position to lead
It's not in their nature to do that, but they understand that their job is to guide the people around them. So they figure out, how do we do this in the best way, shape, or form? But what both of those do, whether it's natural or whether they figured it out, they've both accepted the fact that they're leaders and their job is to make people follow them. Okay, so if a role model is somebody that people copy and a leader is somebody that people follow. Oh, okay. There's a famous quote from Dwight Eisenhower. You don't lead by hitting people over the head. Before we started taking these courses, we already had some world champions in mixed martial arts. And I personally, I'm pretty handy at a few things. And maybe not now, I'm a little older, but I used to be able to kick really, really high. So when a new guy would come along, or a new, you know, someone from another team came along, or we were training a new person, the first thing I would do, I'm going to kick him in the head. Why? Because if I kick him in the head and he's awesome and I kick him in the head, he's going to be like, wow, that was awesome. You got to show me how you did that. And I'm going to be like, yeah, and I'm going to show him how I did that. So, you know, we'd get going and whack, I'd kick him in the head. And then he'd look at me like I was an ass. And then he wouldn't come back. And what would I say? He wasn't tough enough, you know? I didn't realize that I was completely and utterly wrong all the way through that. Don't force your way to leadership. That's not a way to get it. Fear is an easy way to get people motivated, but it doesn't produce results and it's not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. I now found out the last thing you do is kick people in the head when they're not expecting it. All right, so true leaders. This is an important concept. A true leader is both a role model and a leader. You can be a role model and not be a leader. You could be a leader and not be a role model. But a true leader is going to combine both of those. Are these guys true leaders? What do we think? We know who they are, right? We got He-Man and Skeletor. One's a good guy, one's a bad guy. They both lead people. What I normally hear from this is, well, He-Man's the true leader because he's a good guy. Because he's making people copying him and he's doing good stuff. Whereas Skeletor is not the true leader because he's making them do bad stuff. Well, without us knowing too much about either of those, I can see on the concept how that might be considered the case. But doing something good, is that the only thing that makes you a true leader? What about this guy? He's a leader. People copied him. Is he a true leader? History says no. You can give me any kind of argument about how he may have been able to inspire people, but history tells you he was a terrible leader at the end of the day. Failed miserably. Thank God. A true leader is somebody that does something for the good of society. It's enduring, it's lasting, it's bigger than him. For good or for bad, wanted or unwanted, leadership is power. And even though it's a small role, maybe it's just you in control of the wood for that day. You have power over that wood, and that's something that needs to be respected, because you could ruin it all in a second, and then that's just money down the drain. Leadership is power, and as we all know, with great power comes great responsibility. I did have the clip from Spider-Man, but we couldn't make it work, so. But it's serious. Clichés are there for a reason. These fables, these stories, they're there for a reason, because they're real. They mean something. It's easy for us to laugh, oh, this is the real world, but it's true. In these positions, you have power, and with that is responsibility. The reason you have the power is because you can influence and will and can change things. By the way, we were all wrong about Skeletor. He's a really good guy. All right, so how does a true leader influence a project? If you are a true leader, you're a role model. You're given instruction in a concise manner that allows people to do their job. How would that influence a project? Is that going to be a bad thing on a project? Probably going to be a good thing, right? It's probably going to make life run a lot smoother for all of us in all of our departments if we know that there is a true leader as the linchpin of that product, of that particular project. Again, just some ideas. True leader on job, it's going to make it smooth running. There's going to be minimum wastage. Predictable time frame. They're going to keep the peace on the site. This is something that's often overlooked, especially in our world. But when you get that many guys together and that much testosterone in one place, sometimes you need somebody there that's able to keep sections at bay. That's what we do. They keep a clean and organized site. I can tell you from being around that I know when I've walked onto a Joma site, it's different from other places. It's how it should be. That's because that culture has been installed, but our job is to keep that going. That brings us back to why we have high standards. Like we just said, we have the high standards because that's what all our jobs are based on. Manage the tempo of the site. This is an interesting concept, but it's really, really important. And I know that every single person here, when I make this clear, you're gonna understand. All of you, when you walk onto a site, you can gauge the tempo of that site. You know if it's running correctly, if it's organized, if people are confident in the position they're in, or you know if they're not, right? You can tell from the second you walk on. You can see from the bricks down the road to the, you know. So our job is to control the tempo of that site, because if you're feeling that, a client or people walking by, they feel it too. They may not have their finger on the button as to what it is, but they know something is out of place. It's like when going back to the carpenter being able to do his job so well that you don't know anything is wrong. If we trim out a house perfectly, you're not going to get a good job. That's what was meant to have happened. But if you put one of those pieces of trim on a little bit crooked, the client's going to come in, something's not right. They don't know what, but it doesn't feel right. Something's not right. It's going to ruin everything. So it's the same way with the tempo of the site. If the tempo is off on a site, everybody around can feel that, and it will make everything go worse. In our position, we can gauge the tempo of the site and do what needs to be done to correct that. As we go further, we're going to detail that down a little bit further, but it's a concept right now that I want to start swimming around, that tempo of the site.